This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
How concerned are you about nukes reaching the West Coast? I just threw that question out there. Why? Because Kim Jong-un and the idea that our president will meet, I guess, is not so far-fetched. The press did downplay, as we dive into this, the chances of a quick breakthrough in getting North Korea to abandon its nuclear arms. As a delegation from Pyongyang are headed to meet him, they're carrying a important letter, almost like how we used to do it, the Pony Express. Couldn't he just pick up the phone? Okay. It's carrying a letter from Kim Jong-un, which suggested a proposed summit may be back on. What does the secret letter say? Will it happen in Singapore? But remember, the push is for denuclearization from R and the U.S. Deals sometimes change in the middle, and certainly Donald Trump is familiar with that. Is there a good chance there'll be one meeting, two meetings, any meetings? I don't know. What are the odds? Flip a coin. The official Korean Central News Agency said Kim made a remark in a meeting with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov that the two agreed their countries should hold a bilateral summit next year. Until this year, Kim hadn't made any visits outside his country since taking over from his father as leader. And check this out, in 2011, he has held summits with South Korea and made two visits to China as part of a campaign of diplomatic outreach aimed at certainly easing Pyongyang's isolation. So, smart move on his part, right? U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says a North Korean delegation headed by high-ranking official Kim Jong-chul will be happening in New York, and that would mean also a rare visit perhaps to the White House, and it will happen on Friday to give the president that letter, that secret letter I mentioned from Kim. Who carries the secret letter? Does it arrive in a locked briefcase? I'm just curious what happens with the letter. Couldn't nail it. Had to have someone deliver it. So maybe this is going to happen. And there's the key thing. Maybe the nukes do get destroyed. Pretty interesting to see what will happen here. Whether or not that, you know, goes down or it's just more hot air and we talk about it. I think, as my pal Bob Ney has said several times, that it actually will happen. I do think that we will see a summit, and then I'm going to be very curious, if only I could be a fly on the wall, as to what comes out of that summit, if anything. I mean, there's your the key thing. Will anything come out of that or not? Or will it just be one of those meetings where, yeah, we had a meeting and this was good and we're breaking the ice? And I mean, either way, it's historic. Come on. There's no question about that. Very historic. I don't know. And I'm just curious, how about this? How many of you would pick up stakes, as they say, and move for money? Seems like a ridiculous question, right? For enough money. This is why I say this at the top, because I got a few texts from a pal in Vermont that the state has a new law that will pay workers to move there and work remotely. The governor, Phil Scott, signed the legislation on Wednesday. So check this out. Eligible workers can get $5,000 a year. It can't exceed 10, but you could get $5,000 each year through this new worker grant program. The money can be used to relocate computer equipment, internet access, co-working memberships. You know why? Vermont is small, and guess what's happening with the population? They're aging. So they realize they need to recruit people to the state, and this is one of the ways they're doing it. So to be eligible, a worker has to be a full-time employee for an out-of-state business, work primarily from home or co-working space in Vermont, and become a full-time resident on or after January 1st, 2019. I think it's kind of intriguing. What if you lived close? What if you just liked Vermont and you could swing it? Would you do it? I don't know. Would you move that? Move over there? You would have to pay income tax in Vermont, even if you earn it outside of the state. I mean, the whole idea is they're trying to get people there because they need to broaden the tax base. Moving from New York to there would seem smart. I think it's cheaper. Let's go to Grimm. Long time, Grimm. How are you?
I think God moved. I'm too old.
Time to go. That's time to move to Vermont. Year. Right?
Oh, no. No, I need work now. Don't deny that. But no, I think that's for youngins. I mean, back in the day, they used to have what they call PDUs, caps. And for engineers that were chasing government contract jobs, that's what they utilized. My dad kept track of that because that's something, you know, the space program and military contracts and all that. He just kept chasing contract to contract to contract. But all that's online now. It's hard to find some of that older stuff that I'm used to.
Right, because they do it differently now.
Well, the internet.
Yeah, the internet.
I still haven't finished that resume that's unique. And the whole reason I'm creating it is because I'm so sick and tired of HR people. I want to make do their job. Besides sit there and, you know,
yeah,
trash, put trash. That's all they do.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so true.
I reviewed 170 resumes today. Yeah, you just trashed them. That's all you did. You didn't look at anything, really.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's what they do.
Their job has gotten so easy. So I kind of come up with a way that forces them to try and figure out who's this. But everything's kind of just... I love Trump. Everybody don't get it. He's not a politician. Yes, he was a philanthropist and a playboy and all that stuff, but he's not a politician. And he's draining it. I mean, he's showing the politicians what they're all about.
Yeah, he's not a politician.
They don't recognize that. That's their problem. They don't seem to understand and recognize that he's a businessman that was a playboy, that was this and that. And everything he did before he walked in there and sat in the Oval Office and started doing business, he was never a part of. He fought it, but he was never a part of.
Very true.
That's what makes him so special.
Yeah, he was never part of it. You're right. And that's, of course, the history, if we go back to a year and a half ago, is one of the big reasons why he won for most people that said we don't want career politicians. It's going to be interesting to see at the end of this first term what that all looks like. Stay with us. We're doing the numbers thing next.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
The place. This is a spooky, crazy, crummy number, because let's face it, we're in it to win it if you have any market money, and you might if you have a 401k or you have a couple of stocks. You don't have to be a zillionaire to have stock money, but it can be risky. U.S. stocks skidded off the runway, so to speak, on Thursday after the administration said it imposed tariffs on steel and aluminum from Europe, Canada, Mexico as well. So they responded with tariffs of their own in Canada and Mexico, and the European Union is following suit. American steelmakers mostly rose. Industrial companies fell as the face of paying more for metal makes them not happy to make aircraft, machinery, all that kind of stuff. Companies that make household items took some of the worst losses. Products including orange juice and peanut butter might be hit with European tariffs. So, David Kelly, I was looking at some of the analysts, David Kelly from J.P. Morgan Fund said the dragged-out process is discouraging businesses from investing because they don't want to build a product. They only see it targeted by tariffs. He said, you can do great harm to an economy just by leaving people up in the air about what the final deal is going to be. So, there were some stocks that lost some money. Harley Davidson is an example. It fell 2.2%. Hormel, they make Skippy peanut butter, they went down 3.4%. And there were some others that also took some hits. But that's where those numbers stand. When you hear the word plunging, 250, trade war, oh, you don't even want to read that headline. It's too depressing. Robert Mueller is spending some money, yours and mine, $17 million or maybe even $16 million, a little less depending on whose dollar amount you believe. But the bottom line is this. I looked at what was sent out by the Justice Department, and Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation is costing that money. Since it's a look into the 2016 election, the Justice Department on Thursday released the spending tally showing that $10 million was spent from October 1st to March 31st, and his direct spending during the time period is about $4.5 million. It is all about what they're going to find of collusion or not with the Russians into the election. The Justice Department had budgeted $10 million for Mueller to spend in 2019. That begins October 1st. So there were some tweets out about this from the president. He said, can you believe with all that made-up, unsourced stories I get from the fake news media together with the 10,000 Russian witch hunt, there is no collusion. I have now my best poll numbers in a year. Much of the media may be corrupt, but the people truly get it. That was a tweet that came out on May 15th, if you remember. So there's some wild numbers for you. Here's some more. How about this? There's a report out about the Parkland cops wouldn't let the paramedics enter the school. So then you say, oh, why was that? Let's go back to the day, February 14th. So depressing. A high school where a gunman came in, killed and wounded the students. And now there's these reports that are coming out, a couple of different reports that are being released to the public. Here's some numbers for you. According to the Herald, a paramedic team was denied entry because authorities wrongly thought shooter Nicholas Cruz was still in the building. They didn't want to put the paramedics in danger, but commanders were relying on school security footage that was unknown to them, running on a 20-minute delay. Cruz had fled the freshman building about 6 minutes after opening fire. So would it have made a difference or not? There would have been more medics and more hands helping out, that's for sure. So there was a 20-minute delay. Oh, I think that's terrible. Because they had no idea there was a delay in the tape. 17 people were fatally shot. Fatally shot because of that. So, as criticisms of the response to the Parkland massacre mounted, Coral Springs and BSO have pointed fingers at each other. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement is investigating the overall law enforcement performance, so we'll see what they come up with as a result of all of this as to what happened at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where this, sadly, all unfolded. Hard to believe that was February 14th, isn't it? Really hard to believe that. All right, let's move to more sets of numbers. How about this? A new Pew study is out that say teens' internet obsessions are getting worse. Oh, that's depressing. So let's dive into the numbers. For example, the survey showed 85% of teens use YouTube, 72% use Instagram, 69% use Snapchat. Facebook, which was once pretty dominant, is used by 51% of teens. They say really it's to check up what their parents are doing. Twitter is the platform of choice for 32%. 95% of teens now report they have a smartphone or access to one. 45% say they're online on a near constant basis. Another 44% say they go online several times, according to the Pew Research Center. Since I just spent a lot of time with my nephew, who's 16, he would be a YouTube person. He did not spend a ridiculous amount of time online at all or on the phone. He texted here and there. He's an anomaly. He wants to have fun. He wants to pay attention to what's going on around him. I give him a lot of credit for that because I think in his age group, and we talked about it, this is not necessarily what's happening. So he is connected, has a phone, uses an iPad to do his drawings and other things, but isn't really all over the internet constantly. But I think there's a real problem that's brewing. I mean, a real obsession. How much time are you online? Oh, how many minutes a day are you looking at your phone? And of course, when you're waiting for things, we can all be guilty of that, and things that are chirping and getting back and, you know, the whole thing, right? But how do you curb yourself from that? How do you curb yourself from that? Well, the answer is I say to people, you put your phone away. Bury it in a purse, bury it in a drawer, whatever, and just walk away from it. But now we're talking about teenagers, and teenagers communicate that way to each other. So that you'd ask them not to communicate is what you'd be asking them. If they did that. Seems unlikely, I would think. Seems very, very unlikely to me. Just saying. All right, so how about this? Here's another one for you, speaking of social media. Amazon's going to block Australians from buying its international e-commerce websites and restrict them to a smaller local platform from July in response to new tax rules that consumer advocates fear will reduce the range of choices for customers in Australia. Why? Shoppers visiting the U.S. store Amazon.com will be redirected to the Australian version, Amazon.com.au, from July 1st, when Australia starts applying new tax rules. Amazon released that, so everybody would know. From that date, Australia will impose a 10% consumption tax on online retailers for goods bought from overseas sites and shipped to Australia. The tax currently only applies to purchases above AU 1,000, which is $757. Amazon says, we regret the change. They blamed it on the new strict tax rules. And we regret any inconvenience this may have caused customers, as we've had to assess the workability of the legislation as a global business with multiple international sites. It allows us to provide our customers with continued access to international selection and remain compliant with the law. How about that? The Australian Amazon site provides access to more than 60 million products. Amazon offers 480 million products in the U.S. Big difference, huh? That's We Can Count. Stay with us. Hop over to the other side and listen to my friend Ruth Hedges. What a story she has.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, says he doubts the president would pardon himself, but he tells ABC's This Week,
I think the political ramifications of that would be tough. Pardoning other people is one thing. Pardoning yourself is another. Other presidents have pardoned people in circumstances like this, both both in their administration and sometimes the next president, even if a different party will come on and pardon.
Giuliani also told Huffington Post he's certain the president can't be indicted, saying even if the president shot James Comey, he could not be indicted. Republican Congressman Will Hurd of Texas tells NBC's Meet the Press,
I think that would be a terrible move. I think people would erupt. I think even thinking about trying to fire Mueller is a bad move politically. So I hope we don't have to get to that point.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Well, we're very excited to be joined by Ruth Hedges. Think of Global Crowdfunding Convention in Vegas. I love Vegas. I used to live there, and this is the perfect place for it, right? At the end of October, actually 2 days in October, October 23rd and 24th, and big news as far as Global Crowdfunding Convention is concerned, because they've hooked up with Microsoft, but we'll get to that in a second. First, we need to start from the very beginning. Ruth, thanks so much for popping on with us here at Forbes Books at Bedtime. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This is really exciting stuff.
So tell us, for people who don't know, let's talk about crowdfunding.
Sure.
The beginnings of it, everything.
So actually, the Statue of Liberty was crowdfunded. They did not have. Yes, it was. That's absolutely true. They did not have any place to put it, so they had to crowdfund.
We got the statue.
We got the statue.
What should we do with
really,
it?
Really, they didn't have. And it was going to cost $125,000 of a concrete and yeah. whatever else yeah. they built to put this on. And so they put an ad in the newspaper. And people gave pennies and nickels and dimes till they came up with $125,000. And that was a lot of, that's millions of dollars in today's
yes.
dollars.
Right, yes. right.
But that was some of the first crowdfunding.
So the early days of crowdfunding, now we leap forward to now, and that's like a buzzword. You like have it's a, your own vocabulary when it comes to crowdfunding.
We do.
How big, well, let's talk about the impetus for it. How did this all start?
So when the Internet came into play, we had a way to communicate with a large group of people about causes and about innovation and things that before we would have to meet face-to-face to do. So the technology really helped push crowdfunding. But then there were some people who created the platforms like Kickstarter, Indiegogo, GoFundMe were the three big ones that came out initially. And then there was actually one of the platforms that most people don't know about. It's called Artist Share. And it was before Kickstarter and Indiegogo. And it was for musicians. And in 2003, they launched ArtistShare to help musicians fund their music because the...
2003?
2003.
So 10 years before...
Before, yeah.
Kickstarter.
Well, Kickstarter is about 2008, so it was really 5 years, let's say.
I am going to interrupt you to tell one on myself. I was at a startup event in New York and met the founders of Kickstarter. They were pitching.
Right.
And I walked away and I thought, that's the stupidest
thing. Oh, my God, you did not, really.
I did not say, can I invest? It was very early on. And I mean, they were just working on the vocabulary. And the. But before you knew what it was such an insane idea that it really didn't make sense until it made sense.
Until it made sense. Yeah. And then it's on ArtistShare, they've had 29 artists, musicians, nominated for a Grammy, and 10 of them won Grammy Awards.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Do you realize this music would have never existed without crowdfunding? And they are Grammy-quality music. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
You would have had to go to their house and know to knock on their garage door.
Right. Wow. Exactly. Yeah.
Crazy. That's fantastic.
In monetary terms, I mean, the money has to be off the charts. I always say it's what's your wow. Where are we as far as that's concerned, Ruth?
So when I first did my first convention in 2012, we're doing our sixth global crowdfunding convention this year, the entire industry in the whole world was $1.7 billion. Last year was $65 billion. Yeah. It was more than venture capital funding. More than venture capital funding.
Well, and there's another piece to this that I think is important. Of that, say the number again, how many billions?
65.
65 billion. What percentage is the thing people think of when they think of crowdsourcing, which is Kickstarter?
Well, it's not crowdsourcing. Crowdsourcing is a different thing.
Okay.
This is crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding,
right.
I mean. But,
yeah.
But I think when people hear a number like that and this conversation, they think Kickstarter. So I think one of the things we need to do is explain the difference, just for starters.
Right, sure. So there are three kinds of crowdfunding. There is what is called donation or cause-related crowdfunding. Everybody knows GoFundMe.
Yes.
Katrina, the Boston bombing, medical causes, $750 million on GoFundMe alone is for medical causes. Then you have people that are just, you know, college tuition. People crowdfund tuition all the time. They crowdfund anything you can possibly think of. That's donation or cause-related crowdfunding. The second kind is called reward crowdfunding. There are several thousand platforms in every language, in every country in the world today where you can crowdfund. It's not just Kickstarter and Indiegogo anymore. There are huge platforms now in China, in Italy, in France, you name it. There's crowdfunding everywhere in the world today. And that's mostly based on reward crowdfunding, where you have a prototype for an idea, a product, and you don't have the money for the inventory. So you go to the crowd and you say, hey, look, if you help me with some upfront money, I will give you one of these right off, you know, when we get it manufactured, for below the manufactured suggested retail price.
Maybe it's signed by Sting, or there's a party.
Right.
Or, I mean, it's a reward.
It's a reward. Yeah. But in many cases, it's the thing that is the reward.
Right.
It's not
that's
the baseball cap and the T-shirt that's really
that's
compelling people.
It's
that thing.
Yes.
I want the drone.
The
I want the 3D.
Cooler where the guy wanted
cooler.
To make $100,000
and
got $10 million in funding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow,
yes.
So you have to have a favorite story. I know that's hard, but what's your favorite story to come out of now going into your 6 years? Of somebody getting funding?
Well, there's so many of them because I'm obviously immersed in this.
Yeah.
I'm, you know,
oh, yeah.
It's like I have a computer chip of stuff. there is a couple of them. One is in January just this year, a board game called Monster 1.5 crowdfunded $1 million in 19 minutes.
Whoa.
And then went on to crowdfund $5 million in the first 48 hours.
Holy smokes.
There's
who is the creator?
It's a game company.
Okay.
I don't have
so
the name.
So it's somebody with
a
background.
Yes,
in
it's
game.
A game,
okay.
And it's a board game with creatures.
Okay. So it's not even it's not gaming.
No, it's not gaming.
Digital.
It's an actual board, like a Monopoly kind of board game. And then there's Flowhive, which was this one blew my mind. They were trying to raise $150,000 for a box that taps into a tree, and or into a beehive or something, and you get honey. And they raised $12 million. They were trying to raise $150,000.
Wow.
They raised $12 million in 30 days.
So what do you attribute that to? Stop for a second. What do you attribute that to? They knew how to tell their story. People were excited about it. It has to be part about the pitch has to be good.
This is why I put the convention on every year, and this is why I also have a software that helps people understand. You cannot set it and forget it. You cannot build it and they will come. It is a real serious process. It's like applying for a grant, right? If you apply for a grant, you have to fill out a lot of forms and you have to go through a process. Even if you want to go after venture capital funding, how many people go on a roadshow, travel the country? That's a process. They have to get prepared. They have to have a business plan and they have to do all these things. Crowdfunding has a list of things too. And if you don't do them, you will not raise a dime.
Yes.
And even though I can sit here and name hundreds of campaigns that have been extremely successful, I can list thousands of campaigns that have failed miserably.
And maybe somebody gets lucky once in a while because they don't do what you prescribe.
Exactly.
But if you want to do it in a smart, strategic way, you've got to
You have to have a killer video, and you have to have great social footprint. People have to be able to Google
social
you.
Social media is everything.
And know that you are a thought leader in whatever it is you're doing. Write some blog articles. Get some press. For example, I have been in Forbes 7 times. I've been either interviewed or quoted on crowdfunding in your magazine for, you know, a long time. And that matters, you know.
Right.
One of the things I want to go back to, so say the name of the honey product again.
Flowhive.
Flowhive. Mm-hmm. They wanted to raise $150,000. They raised $12 million. I want to make sure everyone listening understands that when they raised that $12 million, if they had gone to VCs, they would have given up 30, 50, 70% of their company. This $12 million, they sold product and still own 100% of the company. They didn't sell the company. They sold the product. And that is, I think, one of the most transformational things about this form of funding.
It is. But let me just say, as one of the pioneers of the securities-based crowdfunding, which is now legal to be able to raise money, giving people equity in a company, there was a company called Oculus Rift.
Of course.
Do you remember Oculus? Okay, so they raised $2.5 million on Kickstarter, and then they were bought up for $1 billion.
Right.
And the people, there were 900 people who gave them 9,000 people who gave them $300 so they could have a pair of the 3D glasses when they manufactured them. Those people would have gotten a $40,000 return on that $300 investment.
All right. Well, I take back what I said about the... I get it.
A year and a half later...
Had they invested...
Had that $300...
And the company would have got their
and
funding.
And the company would have still gotten the funding.
Yes.
And they could have bought themselves a whole lot of glasses for $40,000.
So this really addresses, in part, the qualified investor problem. I mean, startups
Everyone in this room is a angel investor. They just don't know it.
Yes.
You don't have to be accredited investor anymore.
Accredited investor.
You don't have to have a net worth of $1 million or an income of $200,000 for 2 years in a row to be considered an investor in a startup business plan. Before these laws were passed, there was only 8.7 million people in the entire country that were eligible to invest. Meanwhile, you have 240 million other people who have a lot of discretionary money because we spent $1 trillion on Christmas this year. We hit $1 trillion the first time.
It also meant, and this is what made me crazy about the qualified, is the term qualified investor?
Yeah.
What made me crazy about it is if your next door neighbor created the new Facebook and you believed in it and you wanted to invest... Before crowdsourced equity came along, if you didn't have enough wealth, the government said,
you can't
invest. Sorry. You may have picked the best. You could not take any of your money and put it in because the law forbade it. And that, to me, was tragic.
It was tragic because we are sitting on the wealthiest country in the world with so much I live in Las Vegas. Look at all the people that walk into a casino, put money on a craps table, a slot machine. Nobody cares how much they spend. But when it comes to investing, the government feels like they have to get in the middle of this and protect all of us from losing our shirts.
Ruth, hold that thought. We're going to continue our conversation with Ruth Hedges, CEO and founder of Global Crowdfunding Convention, on our next edition of Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Bacon lovers, we ship free.
Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And BuySellMakeOffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. You got it?
BuySellMakeOffer.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
The University of Ottawa, joining us now in America Tonight, David Sweener. And I'll tell you what we're talking about is fascinating because it's wasted dollars and it's ridiculous when we talk about tobacco and health policies that I think are very confusing to most people. And why? Because the right kind of information isn't out there. I think that's part of what it's about. And specifically something that caught our attention and something that's being talked about is this quit smoking hotline that apparently, according to some, actually encourages people to smoke more. How much would be saved by cutting that hotline? $2.5 million. David, thanks so much for popping on with us.
It's great to chat with you, Dave.
So when we talk about this hotline, let's jump right into it. First of all, what is it about the hotline that's providing erroneous information? And so it's two-part. Why aren't they scrapping it? Because it's not working.
Sure, Kate. Well, this is the hotline that's been put up by the Department of Defense to give people information about smoking and smokeless tobacco and various other things. It was brought to my attention because it was promoted, actually, by the Centers for Disease Control, the major government body, saying that this is a great place to get information about smokeless tobacco. Well, I've always been interested in this because, of course, cigarettes, actually most people don't realize it, cigarette smoking is massively more hazardous than using smokeless tobacco. People smoke for the nicotine, they die from the smoke. The problem is the smoke. It isn't the nicotine, it isn't the tobacco, it's the smoke. So I tried the website to see what they tell me. And what I got was just a barrage of misinformation, you know, telling me that it's better to quit the smokeless than the cigarettes if you're using both, which is just absolute nonsense. It's telling me that nicotine causes cancer, which is absolute nonsense. And it was encouraging me, if I smoked and used smokeless, to keep up the smoking, but get off the smokeless. And, you know, that's really like saying, stop throwing baseballs, but keep tossing the live hand grenades. You know, the difference in risk is just enormous.
Yeah, and I think somehow it's just not being realized. Is it just because, oh, well, we always have this line and we just put it up and so it kind of is under the wire?
Yeah, I think what's happened is that the whole campaign about smoking and tobacco has joined some others in the noble category of abstinence only. You know, we're just going to tell people don't use anything. And we know how well that worked with alcohol. We know how well it's working with the war on drugs. We know how well it works in telling people never have sex outside of marriage. And it's working just as well when we get into issues of nicotine. You know, there's a lot of people who are addicted to nicotine. There's a lot of people who are self-medicating with nicotine. There's a lot of people who like nicotine, just like caffeine and other drugs. But what we have is an incredibly deadly delivery system. You know, cigarette smoking will kill over half of long-term users. It's killing about 40,000 Americans every month. And the problem, as I was saying, it's the smoke. You know, if you get anything into your body by sucking smoke into your lungs, you have a very high probability it'll kill you. You know, that's what causes the lung cancer and the mouth cancer, the esophageal cancer. That's what causes the strokes, the heart attacks, the emphysema. It's the smoke. So we've known for decades that if you could just get people off the smoke, we would just dramatically reduce the risk. And yet, instead of informing people about what they can, you know, really do, because it's far easier to get off cigarettes and deal with the nicotine issue later, by saying you just have to quit everything, everything is equally hazardous, or indeed other things are even more hazardous than cigarettes, we have far more people smoking than would otherwise be the case. We know from surveys from the U.S. government that only about 10% of Americans realize that any smokeless tobacco product is less hazardous than a cigarette, rather than saying virtually all of them are massively less hazardous than smoking a cigarette. I mean, it's not only been a misinformation campaign funded with taxpayer dollars, but it's been a very successful one where we have a tremendous number of people who are smoking cigarettes who wouldn't if they simply knew the truth.
Yeah, so almost for the, you almost answered that question, for the tobacco industry, when we were talking about pure cigarettes, it's almost helpful to them. When, if you know anyone in the tobacco industry, a lot of what they're saying is, look, we have a lot of people that smoke, so we're not trying to, if somebody really, honest to goodness, wants to quit, then we want them to quit. Because they can say that. That sounds funny, but I had a conversation with somebody in the industry. And he said, hey, if you want to quit our product, quit our product, because we have plenty of people that really want our product. It's crazy. So it seems as though that's kind of pushing people in that direction where, of course, they're not going to quit.
Well, exactly. And of course, any cigarette company can now say, it's not our fault. I mean,
yeah,
you manufacture
exactly
the products. And you have some companies like Swedish Match, the Swedish company that dominates the tobacco market in Sweden with a product called Snus, which Joe Nocera with Bloomberg News has just written a terrific column about. You know, Sweden's got smoking rates down to 5%. I mean, no other country's anywhere close to that. It's not that people have stopped using any form of nicotine. It's just they use it in a way that doesn't kill them. They're using the Swedish Match product, Snus, which you can buy in the States. The problem is, people don't, because they don't realize that it's less hazardous. They don't realize it's less hazardous, in part because government agencies, using taxpayer money, is convincing people it isn't less hazardous, in many cases convincing people it's more hazardous. So it was probably right up there with saying, why don't we run big campaigns telling people how dangerous it is to use a condom, or how you can really wreck yourself by putting on a seatbelt. And for heaven's sakes, avoid life jackets if you're in a boat. I mean, it's incredible that agencies that we would count on to give us truthful information to allow us to make informed decisions have decided instead to have this abstinence-only, really moralistic-type campaign that treats using nicotine like it's a sin rather than this is a health issue. You know, what would we do if people got their caffeine by smoking tea leaves? Would we just demonize them, or would we say, for heaven's sakes, go to a Starbucks or, you know, brew your tea? I mean, the problem isn't the drug. It's the delivery system.
Yeah, I love how you say that. So here's a great question for you. Then what are some of the most effective ways that somebody who has spent his life working in and around tobacco and policies and whatnot, What are some of the effective ways for people to quit smoking?
Sure. There's different things that are going to work for different people because, of course, different people use nicotine for different reasons. But I think the pragmatic approach, you know, what we do on public health and all other issues is meet people where they are, try to understand what matters to them. If you've got somebody who's addicted to nicotine, if you've got somebody who's self-medicating with it, because they can do a lot of good things for a lot of people. There's reasons why we have very high rates of nicotine use in subpopulations. I think the key thing is what's worked on so many other areas of public health. Give people enough information to make an informed decision, give them the ability to act on it. So we don't just say, never eat in a restaurant. We say, we'll give you information about what's the healthy choices, or we will let you know which restaurants are serving poisonous food, or whatever. We will allow you to make these better decisions. We will point you in the direction of that. And many of our biggest breakthroughs in public health come from those really two simple things. Give people enough information to make an informed decision, give them the ability to act on that. You know, let them know what you can do. So in this case, if we simply told people the truth, that nicotine itself at the dosage levels you're looking for is not particularly hazardous. You know, it can be compared to caffeine. The problem is the delivery system. Smoke kills. You know, sucking smoke into your lungs, whether it's from a cigarette or an open fire, doesn't matter. It's smoke. It'll kill you. What we need to do is look at alternatives. And if you're looking at products that heat tobacco rather than burn it, if you're looking at smokeless tobacco like the moist snuff sold in the States, things like Copenhagen or Skoll or the Swedish Match, General Snus sorts of products, if you're looking at electronic cigarettes, if you're looking at medicinal nicotine like Nicorette products, any of those things are going to massively reduce your risk compared to smoking a cigarette. So try different things, see what works for you, but get off the smoke. And after that, if you want to get off the nicotine as well, fantastic. You can do that if you want. Many of these products are way less addictive than a cigarette. But the key thing is you want to keep people alive. If you want to stay alive, stop sucking smoke into your lungs. Look for an alternative. I think if we told people more about that, we would see more results like they've seen in Sweden of getting smoking rates down to 5%. If you do that, the 40,000 deaths per month happening in the United States now from cigarette smoking could largely disappear in a very short period of time. I mean, we know that most smokers are already saying, I wish I wasn't doing this. Well, let's tell them what they can do instead. Let's give them truthful information. Let's give them the ability to act on it. And if we were sensible, you know, we could even use tax policy to say the less hazardous products won't be taxed. Cigarettes will. They'll be taxed heavily. So the products that don't kill you are going to be cheaper to get. They're going to be more widely available than cigarettes. And we're going to give you truthful information about them. And sort of exactly the opposite of what we see happening in policy now, where cigarettes are given a huge marketplace advantage and the various alternatives, we just see constant misinformation, whether it be about, you know, e-cigarettes or the nicotine in Nicorette-type products or the heat-not-burn products or the smokeless tobacco products. You know, let's start giving people honest information. Let's give them the ability to act on that. Let's encourage that. And let's see just how rapidly we can get a revolution in public health.
I agree with you. Perfect place to end this. Imagine if that was 5%, 40,000 deaths. That's ridiculous. David Sweener, thanks so much. And thanks to all of you for listening to America Tonight.
I'll be your chauffeur on a midnight drive. It takes a miracle just to survive.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.